Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shearer, editor of the Green Valley News and Sawadita Sun, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. I'm sitting in for Bill, who's on vacation this week. Today is Monday, May 19th, 2014, and we have a great show in store for you. Bill is here live each weekday from 12:04 to 1 p.m. on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice. We live stream the show at kvoi.com, and you can get podcasts and archives of all the Buckmaster shows at buckmastershow.com. You can also find the show on Facebook. Just type in Bill Buckmaster and you're there. Bill updates the page throughout the week and you're going to want to be a part of that. The Buckmaster Show's media partners are TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, and the Sawadita Sun. And you will find links to the show on their homepages. We always get the week started with a Monday political face-off featuring the key issues on the political scene, and then at roughly half past the hour, we'll be talking to David Wanger, the CEO of Green Valley Hospital, which is scheduled to open about a year from now, just south of us here in Tucson. Let's move right into our Monday political face-off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializes in custom-framed mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. And I love to hear Bill talk about the latest project that Moe's is helping him with. You can get some help, too. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and on Facebook and at moesgallery.com on the web. We welcome to the show by phone former Pima County Democrat Party Chair Jeff Rogers. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm well today. How are you, Dan?
Very good. And in studio, we have Bruce Ash, a Republican National Committee member for Arizona. If you'd like to join the discussion, you can call the KVOI live line at 790-2040. That's 790-2040. Welcome, gentlemen. The legislature is out, took about 100 days this year, but we still have lots to talk about. Let's start with public education and school choice. We're hearing about a so-called war on education in Arizona, specifically public education. Bruce, is that true? Is there a war on education?
I think there is by the Democratic Party. They've stood blocking schoolhouse doors for the last 100 years, and they continue to do it today, not allowing parents to exercise free choice to send their kids to other quality schools. And they're saying it definitely in TUSD. There's been 25,000 students who have either left the district to go into another district or gone to a charter school or homeschool. And these are serious problems for a school district who is really dead from the neck up.
Jeff, what do you think?
Well, the Republicans have only recently begun to be honest about their war on public education. For years, we put up with them underfunding education in this state, particularly K-12 education. We always finish either dead last in funding per student or somewhere in the bottom 5 to 10 year after year after year, and Republicans have been in control of the state legislature for most of the last 20 years. The problem with TUSD is the demographics of the district and the age groups that are declining. It's not just people choosing other schools. But the problem, bigger problem is that right now we've got an education chief in Arizona who doesn't even consider public education his priority, even though that's his job. He's right now proposing to give $2,000 per year more to students who would go to charter or private or parochial schools than they would receive per student in going to a public district-run school. So, you know, it's a more narrow war, but what they want to do is privatize education and destroy public education completely so that people who are wealthier people have a leg up and will get their education subsidized, but the poorest among us and even the middle class won't have access to high-quality education.
Bruce, are we spending enough on education?
No, we aren't, and we should spend more, and we will as our economy improves. It's hard, though, for our economy to improve when we have as many impediments on it as exist currently from the Obama administration and from crazy Democrats across the country. You know, Dan and Jeff, the top 10 best-run states in this country are all Republican states. The worst 10 are all Democrat-run states. And if we were able to unleash the free market as we really need to and ought to, we would be making a lot of new employees. We wouldn't have as many people sitting out of the labor participation pool, creating a lot more in taxes, and be able to fund all of the things, whether it be education or health care. The way that it currently stands, though, it doesn't make any difference how much money you're throwing at education, because when you look at districts like TUSD with a real lack of leadership, and in fact, their values and their views are completely whacked because they ought to be looking at controlling classrooms. They ought to be looking at supporting parents. They ought to be looking at helping the teachers get more resources to run the schools. They're not doing any of that. Currently, 49% of every tax dollar that goes into TUSD gets into the classroom. That's deplorable.
Okay, Jeff Rogers.
Well, I would agree that there has been some mismanagement of TUSD over the years, but we, with the current school board and the current superintendent, I think things are really, really looking up in TUSD. And what they need to do about controlling the classroom is control the classroom size. I mean, and there's an initiative coming forward this coming year to do exactly that and limit the class size to something that's far more manageable, where students can really have a chance to learn instead of just barely be under control, which is impossible when you get class sizes in the 30 numbers of 30s. And about these other states, let me tell you, we consistently are dead last, not only in what we pay teachers and what we spend per student, but also in performance. And yet we look at some of these other Democratic-run states that are perennially in the top five educationally-wise, and that, like Massachusetts, Connecticut, New York. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And so Bruce may have some list from the Wall Street Journal or Fox News that says these are the 10 best-run states, but they don't include the 10 best school districts in that state. And Maryland's another one that has outstanding schools, also a Democratic-controlled state. And all of those are states that place a strong emphasis on spending per pupil and on educational excellence, which is something Arizona hasn't done for a long, long, long time.
Well, Jeff, is it a question of not enough money for public education in Arizona, or not enough money actually getting to the classroom?
I think it's both, to tell you the truth. It's not enough money, period. We need to spend a lot more per pupil, but there are some sense in which, you know, across the state, and TUSD is one example, but other districts are similar examples that spend, as Bruce was saying, 49 cents per dollar in the classroom. Well, you know, if you include librarians and other and a few other support personnel, it actually goes up beyond that. But the fact is that we're still not spending enough in the classroom. And there also is an initiative coming forward this next year to move a lot more money into the classroom and eliminate some of these mid-level bureaucrats that kind of occupy spots that ought to be occupied by actual teachers or people engaged directly with students in learning.
Well, I'll share with you, Dan, in the community that you write from, Sarita, that school district is only spending 45 cents of every dollar in the classroom. And these are real challenges that we have to address. And I would agree with Jeff that we need to be looking at alternatives to make sure that class sizes are under control. And in the meantime, though, there ought to be alternatives for parents from the government-run school system. This is free choice. And Jeff, I disagree with you.
I entirely disagree. Public dollars should not be going into private and parochial
They're
schools.
Not.
That I am totally against that. And the dismantling of the public education system has been a strong priority of the Republican Party for the last two decades.
And it continues
recently
to be.
Have they gotten to the point where they admit it?
Okay, if you'd like to join the discussion, you can call the KVOI live line at 790-2040, and we are going to go to Matthew here, who's on the line. Matthew, are you there?
Yeah, Bruce or Jeff, I have a real problem with these online schools in Arizona, and I would like either of you to express either your good points or bad points about online schools. I could see it being used on a very minor scale, but we've had millions of dollars leaving the state. There's absolutely no accountability, and there's no structure. I mean, at least with the charter schools, we know where they are. If they're even in a shopping mall, they're contributing to the community in some way. But these online schools, that is a complete waste. And parents, I don't know what they're thinking about, following. You know, all it is a lot of advertising, convincing parents to send public money out of
Okay, Matthew, Jeff, why don't you take this one, online schools?
I think those should be rare, if not non-existent. I do criminal defense work, and some of that includes lots of juveniles. And I have seen some rare occurrences where I've had clients who really couldn't get into another school, or they'd been through several schools, and their behavioral problems were such that they were, had no other alternative but an online school. But I do think that they're being abused, as Matthew says, and that they ought to be very rare, perhaps almost non-existent.
Okay, so they have a purpose, but we're seeing some abuse in the system. Bruce, what about the charter schools, the sheer number of them that we have? And I was talking to Damian Klinko the other day, and he is our representative in the state legislature down in Sarita, and there seems to be an effort to clamp down on those because they're siphoning good students and a lot of money away from the public schools, which he says is making the public schools deteriorate. What do you think about that?
That's his view.
Sure.
Education is a civil right, and it is also a free market choice that parents and children ought to have. Why should anybody be forced to go to the government-run school if the government-run school is not providing the educational enrichment that these families and all of our children deserve in order to make this a better place to live in the future?
Well, Dan, one of the other problems with these types of schools is they're increasing, and it's odd, here we are in the 60th year anniversary of Brown versus Board of Education, and what we're seeing is a resegregation of America's schools, and this is contributing to that problem. These charter schools are ending up and self-selecting the best students who just, and more often than not, they're ending up resegregating, and we're not seeing any kind of integration. So it's a damn shame that here we are 60 years after Brown versus Board of Education, and now we're back to the same place.
Okay, you know,
all kids have access to public education, Jeff and Dan, but when the government so poorly runs the schools, it's the government that has caused the segregation that you claim exists. I take great offense, and I think other leaders in public education would take great offense, Jeff Rogers, to you or any other Democrat who's come out with these claims that charter schools and alternate forms to the government-run school system are causing segregation
in this country.
There isn't any doubt about it. That's preposterous, and you know it.
The statistics prove that.
It's not just a Democrat talking point for you, Jeff.
Without a shadow of a doubt, it's proven by statistics.
Okay, let's go on. We're going to hit the phones again. Adriana, you're going to give us the other side of the online schools because you are a mom who uses an online school. Is that right?
I did use Arizona K-12. I homeschooled both of my daughters for 2 years, and then we enrolled in Arizona K-12 online program. We had access to a teacher every single day. You turn in homework. You get to move forward. You don't have to stay behind a grade or wait for everything. You learn it. You're tested on it. It's a great, great, great program. I'm totally supportive of the online school. My kids I did put them in also into a private school, and my daughter went straight into second grade. My youngest one went into kindergarten, and now they're all going to be at BASIS. I appreciate the fact that I moved to the state specifically for the opportunities that were here for my children, and even more so after I found out that my kids were, you know, ready to start school, that the school district that we live in, TUSD, is not somewhere that I would ever want to put my kids.
Okay, very good.
I totally support them.
Very good. Thank you, Adriana, for that call. This looks like a good time to take a break. This is the Monday Political Face-Off with Bruce Ash and Jeff Rogers, and we will be back in just a couple of minutes.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. From cooking, cleaning, bathing, and drinking, the benefits of a Culligan system are obvious. You'll use less soap, shampoo, and detergent. Your appliances will last longer, your clothes will last longer, and stay brighter, too. All of this saves you money and adds to the quality of life, not to mention softer skin and softer hair the whole family will enjoy. Culligan has been in Tucson since 1946, and we have seen about every water concern imaginable. We continue to stay on top of the newest state-of-the-art technology to deliver the refreshing, clean, and high-quality water that's become the Culligan hallmark of excellence. Try a Culligan water treatment system for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months' rental on an annual rental agreement. Schedule your free water test, and don't forget to ask about the Culligan High-Efficiency Water Softener. Call 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's V-S-C-O-T.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and on Facebook and at moesgallery.com on the web. We are with Bruce Ash and Jeff Rogers, and as always, if you'd like to join the discussion, you can call us at 790-2040. We're going to stay on the topic of education for just one more caller, so I apologize to those who didn't get through on this one. We're going to go to Matt, who works for a public school district. Matt, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Go ahead.
Good afternoon. I am a conservative Republican, certainly in how I vote. Did not vote for the president the last two times, but I also work for a public school district, probably the finest public school district in the state, out in Vail. And there are no charters in Vail because they can't compete against us. We simply they can't keep up with us. That being said, Bruce, I have to tell you, as a fellow Republican, I am nauseated at how the Republican-controlled legislature has declared war on us and on all public schools. The rules are stacked against us. We receive less funding for every child that we get. We are under constant pressure to provide services that charters simply don't have to provide. If you set up a strip mall charter school and you have you're a for-profit company, and you can, in a sense, it becomes a mechanism for for-profit charters to extract public money for providing a minimal level of services, or in the cases of BASIS, to essentially ignore special ed kids, to ignore English language learner kids, to skim off the top and leave the rest for us. And it's simply, again, as a conservative, I'm nauseated at the level of crony capitalism that happens up in Phoenix over the issue
Matt, this is Dan. You obviously are doing something right out in Vail, and everybody knows it's a terrific school district, and you're doing it with the current restrictions that you're talking about and the funding you're talking about. And as you say, charter schools don't have a prayer out there. What are you doing that, say, a TUSD is not doing?
We're offering parent choice in terms of which school your child can attend. We're offering choices that are authentic in terms of our schools. Each have particular focuses, particular offerings. Tremendous amounts of parent engagement were welcome. We do things right, and we do things because they're the right things to do. They also happen to make us competitive. But, again, we really work on serving our parents and serving our community. We also have the second-best rate of spending in the classroom in Pima County. So we work really hard to get a nickel out of every dime and make sure we get resources going to classrooms. Again, that's what makes it, and also if you look at the voting, that's red state America out there. That is the most conservative part of Pima County, which is why it's particularly confusing why the legislature has us in their crosshairs in terms of what the law does and what we have to do. And it almost seems as if it's a setup to, again, extract public money to private for-profit charter companies.
Okay.
Who, I guess,
okay, very good.
On their side.
Okay, Matt, thanks. Bruce, it's a fellow Republican who's not real happy with what you're doing.
Well, I agree with him. I think that we need to be doing more. Jeff and I both agree on that. We've had some pretty catastrophic economic consequences to deal with, though, the past several years, and that was an area, along with many others, that the legislature had to cut. I would invite Matt to give me a call. He can reach me anytime, any day at 795-2100. I'd like to talk with him more about that. And I would invite anybody who's really interested in making a change where Pima County gets a voice in the Arizona State Legislature. There are three candidates running in LD-10 out in the Vail area who are running as education candidates. And Jeff, I think you'd even be impressed with these three, an educator and two other guys who have been intimately involved in public education most of their adult lives.
Okay.
Well, Matt brings up a lot of good points, and Vail is an outstanding school district, but you also have to realize that you're serving an entirely different demographic and socioeconomic group in the Vail area as opposed to the center urban core of the city of Tucson. You're talking about a lot more single parents with children in the central core of Tucson, a lot more Latino children, a lot more people who don't speak English as their primary language, that are disadvantaged from the very beginning, and you don't see as many of those, or anywhere near as many of those, as a percentage of the population of students as you in the Vail School District, as well as Sal Rita and a few other school districts of that type. So that's something you have to look at when you look at the performance of a school district.
Okay, very good. Let's move on to another topic here. We have a special session coming up in the legislature on CPS, which I guess is formerly CPS. Jeff, we'll start with you. What's the problem? What's the goal? And is money really going to answer this problem?
Well, the goal is to protect children. I mean, let's face it, CPS has been under a great deal of scrutiny for, you know, their inability to protect the most vulnerable people in our society, which are our children, from abuse and neglect. And so, but money is part of the solution, and I'll tell you, part of the solution is to pay these people more. This is an extraordinarily stressful job these child protective services workers do, and it burns them out, and it's difficult, and you need highly educated people who have a lot of patience and who have a lot of perseverance, and we need to pay these people more if we want to hold on to them, because we cannot have this constant turnover of people who last only an average of a few years and then burn out from all of the criticism and from all of the difficulties and the high caseloads. And so money solves part of that problem, but the legislature instead is looking at something they're right now discussing, some kind of benchmarks that must be met before any further funding would be given to whatever the new agency is going to ultimately be called. But the fact is that the money needs to be provided up front so that we can hire additional workers, pay the ones we have more money, and deliver the services that we need to do to protect society's most vulnerable people, our children.
Bruce, what role does prevention, money for prevention play in all of this, making sure that people don't end up in these situations?
Well, a whole bunch, but, you know, the prevention really starts, Jeff and I were talking about education. It really starts in grade school, making sure that kids are empowered, able to get through high school and on to a trade school or JC or four-year institution. We don't have enough of that. I mean, we need to do everything we possibly can to empower these families to succeed. CPS and agencies like them in the other 49 states, Dan, it's almost like the problem with the VA right now. It's such a huge problem, and where do you start? Is it money? And certainly the VA has got its share of increases in funding over the past several years. Is it management? Is it the style of management? I hope when the legislature does meet in special session, they really look at not just the money part, although they must look at that as well, but they look at how CPS is approached and how management has to be part of the answer here as well.
Okay, very good. And we learned last week that Senate Minority Leader Anna Tovar is not going to run for re-election. She was co-chair of the Arizona Latino Caucus, obviously wielded some power up in the legislature. We had a brief discussion of this last week with Jim Small, editor of the Arizona Capital Times, but I'd like to ask you guys this. It's tough to keep good people in the legislature, particularly young people. What's the problem, Bruce?
Well, I would wish Anna Tovar best of luck in her future career, whatever she may decide to do. Serving in the legislature certainly ought not be a full-time job. It's not designed to be. That's why they get paid $24,000 or $28,000 a year or so, and they have another 200-plus days a year where they can be involved in their regular full-time job. But moreover, we don't see any increases in the value of the service or the competency of the service when you look at places like California, where legislature members there make over $100,000 and have sometimes as large a staff as a U.S. congressman does. It's almost equal with the state of New Hampshire, where they don't pay their people anything. They have 400 of them or so serving in the state assembly, and yet New Hampshire seems to make it through every year without a deficit and manage to take care of most of their folks who live there.
But, Jeff, this really is a full-time job, isn't it?
It is, and I'll give you a real good example. Let's use myself as an example. I would love to serve in the state legislature. I could not shut down my law practice for 5 months and be a full-time legislator and then come back and reinvent my law practice. And that's the problem, is that we view it as a part-time model, but it's not. It's a full-time for 4 to 6 months, depending upon how they get their work done. And so, you know, you've got to be able to walk away from everything you do. And Anna Tovar is somebody I find quite remarkable, and it would be wonderful to keep around there. But I think you particularly see it in people ages, say, 25 to 55, because these are people in the prime earning years of their life that are trying to build a business, that are trying to make their career as good as it can be and raise a family and all of these kinds of things. And yet, you know, you have to be extraordinarily dedicated, like some single issue candidates are, or you have to be independently wealthy, or you have to be retired in order to be a state legislator, or you could manipulate a little bit if you live in the Maricopa County area. But for people who don't live in Maricopa County, and she doesn't, then you are in a position where you've got to be able to give up your life for 4 to 6 months.
Yeah, and it is a tough job, and we do thank all the legislators for the work they're doing. Bruce, I'm going to throw this last question to you. We've got, 9 or 10 people who are in the GOP primary for governor. Tell us whether we're going to see all of those names on the August primary ballot, or generally speaking, how does this shake out through the summer?
I think we'll probably see nearly everybody on the ballot. I can't imagine that we're going to have any candidate that doesn't make it to the ballot. This is going to be a full-on jungle primary with the best man or woman coming out on top. And it's a free market system, politics is.
Are you surprised at the number of people?
No, and frankly, I'm not surprised at the Democrats either coronating Fred Duval.
Okay, very good. Okay, that is going to wrap it up for this week's Monday Political Face-Off. I'd like to thank Bruce Ash and Jeff Rogers for joining us. Always interesting with you two. When we come back, we'll be joined by David Wanger, CEO of Green Valley Hospital, Green Valley's first hospital, by the way. We'll be right back after this break.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. UA Biosphere 2's new ocean gallery and its large viewing windows give tour visitors a look under the surface of the existing Biosphere 2 ocean. Within the ocean gallery is the new Return to the Sea of Cortez exhibit, which chronicles the storied 1940 journey of author John Steinbeck and marine biologist Ed Ricketts to the Gulf. Experience this remarkable journey for yourself. Come visit Biosphere 2 today. Info at b2science.org.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tanque Verde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I am Dan Scheer, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. We now welcome to the show David Wanger, CEO of Green Valley Hospital, which is under construction along I-19 in Green Valley and is scheduled to open about a year from now. David, how you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Great to have you. If you'd like to weigh in, you're welcome to call the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. That's 790-2040. David, we have been very excited about the hospital down in Green Valley, as you well know.
I do.
This thing is going up. You broke ground in, what was it, January?
A little bit before that.
A little before that. And I just got a call from someone the other day who actually said, is it really happening? That was exactly what he said. Is it really happening? I said, yeah, it is. Because we've been down this road about five or six times where people have promised a hospital, or they've thought about a hospital, or they're, you know, kind of the rumor goes through the community, and it has never happened. But now it is, and we actually see it. Give people a brief overview of Green Valley Hospital. What's going to be in it? Where is it?
Okay, well, let's start. First of all, it's located at 4455 East Frontage Road. It's on the frontage road between Continental and Kanoa. And essentially, we're looking at about 147,000 square foot general acute care hospital with 44 med-surg beds and 6 ICU beds. So we'll be opening up with 50 beds roughly the end of the first quarter of 2015. We'll have all the various services that you would normally find in any general acute care community hospital.
Okay, and so, and this is being done independently. Is that the proper way to say it? We're not talking, it's not a Cron de Led, it's not Northwest. This is you.
That is, well, it's McDowell Enterprises. I wish it was me.
And McDowell is the developer on it, and then you are, in essence, the operator.
That is correct.
Okay, so you're pulling together the entire team from the custodians on up to the surgeons. Is that accurate?
That is accurate, yes.
Okay, quite a job. And I've been out to the site, and it is quite impressive. And we're getting there. As
more
you say.
So every day. I was actually in it, I guess, 3 days ago, and you start to get a real feel for the size of the place when you're sitting in it now.
Right. So if you're heading down I-19, it is on the east side as you're heading south, and it is between Continental and Kanoa Roads.
And it is happening.
And it is happening. So give us a little bit of background. Why you?
Why me? I have a semi background with Jim McDowell, the developer and actual main equity partner. Jim and I worked together on the Gilbert Hospital in Gilbert, Arizona, in the Southeast Valley of Phoenix. And when it came time for Jim to look for an operator, he immediately went to myself and some of the folks that I have traditionally operated with.
Okay, and when you say Gilbert Hospital, it reminds me of a story you told me, and I want to make sure I got this accurate, but were you the first hospital to tell people that if you walk into the emergency room, you're going to see somebody within 30 minutes? Is that something you guys devised?
That is something that we devised. The managing partner actually came up with the idea, and we implemented it. We were also the first hospital in Gilbert.
Okay.
And there's three now.
And having come from that area, I know that it was emergency room waits were a huge issue up there. And so to be able to walk in and somebody see you in 30 minutes was quite something. What does it take to pull off something like that?
You know, honestly, Dan, just paying attention to it. I don't believe we did anything that avant-garde up there, but we just had zero tolerance for people waiting. We did incentivize radiologists and pathologists and various physicians to read x-rays faster and things like that, but certainly care was not rushed in any way. But the only thing that was rushed is we pretty much got people as they came out of their car right before they hit the front door. And there's just very little tolerance for waiting, and we tried to speed things up, dedicated MRI, dedicated CT. When I say dedicated, it was dedicated strictly to the emergency room.
And as I mentioned before, Green Valley really has had a long road to its own hospital, like I said, maybe a half dozen attempts before. I can only ask you to speculate, but why hasn't it not taken off in the past? Why was this area just not, it wasn't time? And why is it time now?
I can just speculate again, as you indicated, but I don't think the major players in the Tucson market needed to. The business goes up to Tucson from the Green Valley, Sahuarita zip codes. And just as a businessman, if I didn't have to spend any money anywhere else, I probably wouldn't. And my gut tells me that's what happened here. And And frankly, most of the facilities that I see in Tucson have been undergoing large expansion projects. They've deploying a lot of capital, and they probably have their hands full in this market. As far as other people like McDowell or other developers, why didn't they go after the Green Valley area earlier? I don't know. A lot of it could be over the last 4 or 5 years, certainly the Obamacare, the Affordability Act, and the uncertainty of the financial markets.
Right. Part of your job is to get on the ground and get to know people. And I've been down in that area five and a half years as the editor of the paper, and I know quite a few people. But I will tell you this, in 4 or 5 months, you've met more people than I have. What I want to specifically have you talk about is the volunteers who have come forward a year before the hospital is to open and said they want to be a part of it. Who are we talking about here?
We have about 109 volunteers right now. I'm probably still 5 to 6 months away from where my budget would allow me to hire a volunteer coordinator. So I'm doing that with a local gentleman, John Geiger, and he has done just an amazing job. And frankly, the Green Valley News, you put something in it, people read it, and they have rallied around. And we have 109 volunteers. We've met once already and getting ready to start meeting routinely now. But there are so many good ideas from so many different people. We're talking from all different walks of life, folks with a lot of volunteer background. We even have volunteer coordinators from the past that are coming forward who may or may not want to do that again, but they definitely want to volunteer.
And you have learned, like I have, that the backgrounds of some of the people down in Green Valley are absolutely incredible. And they're retired, but they are not ready to slow down. They're just awesome people. So I can see that they're going to have just a huge role when this hospital gets up and running here.
And absolutely, I agree. Just recently, I was being questioned, and not in a bad way, but it was a pretty good grilling out in the audience by somebody that really knew what he was talking about. And afterwards, it turns out that he has more experience as a hospital administrator than I do. From the Midwest, since then, his offers to assist us, just like everyone else, they're willing to help, and they're coming forward, whether it's planning a gift shop, whether it's planning other aspects of the hospital, pet therapy. We're going everywhere with some of these people, and it's very warming.
And you've learned, like I have, that there are a lot of people who you just sit at their feet and listen. There's some great people there.
There's folks that have forgotten more about hospitals than I have.
And journalism, and they let me know it, but I tell you what, they're terrific. Okay, this looks like a good time for us to take a break. We are with David Wanger, the CEO of Green Valley Hospital, which is going up south of Green Valley. It's going to be open in about a year. We'll be right back.
Here in Tucson, we love our beautiful mountain views,
but large windows and sliding glass doors are huge energy zappers.
At American Openings, we build our doors just like our energy-saving windows to keep the heat where it belongs, on the outside. No matter the style, American Openings will create your doors right here in Tucson at a fraction of our competitors' costs. And although the price is less, our quality is excellent. Call today and enjoy our beautiful views year-round without losing your cool.
Call 664-1202 or visit AmericanOpenings.com.
Remodeling, restoring, or building new additions to your home?
Five Star has termite and pest solutions for you. Treatments to building materials can be performed while tradesmen continue to work. Worried about treatment marks? Don't be. Our treatments will be completed before texture and paint. Five Star will provide landscaping and drainage advice to eliminate moisture and other pest and termite attractions around the home.
Five Star Termite and Pest Control, protecting homes and homeowners since 1980. 886-0045.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us they get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 8/31/14. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, sitting in for Bill, who's on vacation this week, and we're talking with David Wanger, CEO of Green Valley Hospital. David, again, we were just talking about the volunteers who've come out and said, hey, we want to be a part of this. We've talked about how Green Valley has really been waiting a long time for this. Where can people get updates? Where can people go, frankly, if they're interested in working there? You guys have a website set up, and it's actually quite good. What is it?
We do. It's www.greenvalleyhospital.com. And it is a site that is under construction, much of it. And every 2 weeks or so, we update it. And there'll be specifically a lot of information regarding applications and employment opportunities, probably in the next 2 to 3 months.
Okay, very good. Because I know I'm getting phone calls down there at the Green Valley News, people interested in working for you. But one of the neat functions of the website is you have a live cam that just looks over the construction.
Yes, we do.
And you have and you can go back a couple months and look at where you were and where you are now, and it's quite something.
You can go all the way back to the first shovel in the ground. It's a time lapse, and it's actually pretty slick.
Very good. Now, specifically, if I can, not to offend anybody in Green Valley, but pretty much it's strokes and heart attacks and that are the big problem down there. Now, what people really want is they don't want to go to Tucson. They want a hospital that they can just stay in Green Valley. They don't want to be prepped and moved to Tucson. Is this what's going to happen down there? You're not a feeder system, I hope.
No, that exactly. We are not a feeder. There's always going to be patients that will need a higher level, more specialized and tertiary care, and they probably will be shipped to the closest tertiary, no doubt Tucson, but that is not the plan. The plan is to be able to take care of 90% to 95% of everything that happens in the local community, including the strokes, including the hip replacements and the ortho. That the technology on procedures such as that is simple enough now where general community hospitals, even like the one we're opening, should be able to handle that very close to home.
Okay, and I'll mention that at one point TMC was involved in the talks and bumped out roughly a year ago. Are you still going to be doing this entire thing independently?
It is slated that way right now. We are doing it independently. I would also tell you that we are in discussions with some of the larger hospital groups here in the Tucson area, because there's always an opportunity on both sides for strategic partnerships.
Okay. And you're not ready to name those, huh?
I'm under confidentiality and NDAs.
I won't tell anybody. Just come on. It's not going to happen. You know, we're
they
not
might
only...
get upset.
Okay, very good. Well, we're not only talking about a hospital here. There are also some buildings going on. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going to be in those buildings?
Right. On campus, there'll be 40,000 square feet of medical office building space. And actually, within the next month, you'll start seeing construction happen on both those two of the first three buildings will start. Everything, the first 40,000 square feet is due to open up at the same time the hospital does. And that is essentially what it sounds like, medical office building space. The hospital will actually rent 2,000 or 3,000 square feet for our business office, as we have not planned that to put that actually in the hospital. But you'll start seeing, as in any mall, once the anchor tenant is in there, you'll see other types of medical opportunities spring up, be it ambulatory surgery centers, physician offices, freestanding diagnostic imaging centers. You'll probably see a dentist or two, my guess is, because it's the plan. And typically what happens is most medical providers want to start gathering around the hospital.
Right. And do you expect that most of those are going to be new, or do you think they're going to be coming from elsewhere in Green Valley and just moving over? Are we going to start seeing pockets of vacancies around town, or how does that normally work?
I would think you're going to see a little of both, but judging from the physician groups that we're talking to, I tend to think you might see some new coming into the area. We've also been approached by some long-term care and some assisted living that both in-state and out-of-state looking at the area and now starting to kick the tires on this property.
Very good. And you'd mentioned earlier the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, if you will. How is that? That's a big question mark for everybody involved with anything to do with the medical providing. What have your thoughts been as you have moved forward with this project? How is this going to impact it? How has it affected some of the decisions that have been made?
Well, the major decision that it impacted very early on, and this is some years ago, was the financing of the project. And I know, Dan, you're aware of the EB-5 financing. And typically, that would not have been used. We might have been able to go to, or McDowell might have been able to go to a local or in this country, equity sources and investors. But frankly, whether you like it or not, the Act, the Affordability Act, it's lent a lot of uncertainty to the healthcare lenders out there, and lenders do not like uncertainty. Therefore, that was the major thing that immediately changed things. And there are some small changes that are happening that we as operators are going to have to, reimbursement is always going down. Those types of things we're going to have to be aware of as we start the hospital. But the financing was the largest in my mind.
Give people a brief overview of what EB-5 financing is. I get a lot of phone calls at work about this, and a lot of people just simply don't understand it.
It's essentially a program that's been around, set up by the United States government, Immigration and Customs, back in the 80s, as I understand it. And essentially, it permits a vehicle for foreign nationals to invest in medically, or in this case, medically underserved areas, but economically underserved areas of the United States at full risk to themselves, and ultimately After the project is done and operating for a specified amount of time, those foreign nationals have access to citizenship in the United States, a green card for themselves and their families. And in this particular case, the money primarily came from mainland China.
Okay. And we've been talking about the Green Valley Hospital in terms of Green Valley, but you are right next to Saurita, which has an equal size population. Are you going to be marketing much to Saurita? And what do you offer them? What can you offer them to make sure that when they have a hospital need, they're going to drive south instead of north?
Yes, and we are absolutely taking a hard, long look at them. They are every bit as important as our Green Valley residents, and they are right on our doorstep. And it is a much younger population, a much younger demographic. We'll be offering the same thing, the full-service general acute care hospital with a 24/7, 365 emergency room, which I would anticipate that, especially in the middle of the night, even the younger population of Saurita is probably going to want to come to the closer hospital and probably the faster ED based on, you know, the population. And we'll also be partnering up with the Children's Hospital here and the various pediatricians in the Green Valley, Saurita area.
Okay. So, it's Saurita's hospital too?
It is, absolutely.
Okay. Very good. I've been with David Wenger, CEO of the Green Valley Hospital, again under construction along I-19 in Green Valley, scheduled to open about a year from now. Thank you, Dave, for joining us. Really appreciate the update.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Okay, and thank you for joining us today. We want to remind you that the bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for year-round residential and commercial water needs. I'll be back in this chair on Friday. We'll be talking about Honor Flight and its effort to bring every World War II veteran to see their memorial in Washington, D.C. Thank you again for being with us. Here's hoping you have a great rest of the day.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.